Today we're going to talk about rest.
Yeah.
Who feels like they could use more rest?
Not right
now. Not right now, thank you. Amen. Who would like to have more naps in your week? Yeah. Who would like more vacation days than you currently have? Yeah, let's bring it on. We want more, more, more of all of that. Rest is good. Animals understand rest. Look at that, an animal can rest anywhere, on the top of a door. I mean, it's crazy what animals can do. They know how to rest. Go to the next one there. There's a little dog, little puppy, and understand the importance of rest. Babies understand how to rest, There's a baby who's got it. It's like, it's the weekend, Sometimes we feel like that, and here's an adult. It's like, we can just rest anywhere if we really want to. It may not look that comfortable, but when you need rest, you need rest. Go to the next slide there. So what if the town of Normal passed a law, you're not allowed to work on Sunday?
Sweet.
What would be our reaction? We'd be like, amen, no work on Sunday. Chick-fil-A already has that, right? Hey, let's all go to Chick-fil-A. I'm buying today. I'm buying lunch at Chick-fil-A today. And you'd be like, hey, great, wait a minute. They're not open. You can't go to Chick-fil-A for lunch because it's closed, What if all work was closed on Sunday? Our first reaction, I think, would be, this is awesome news. We love it. This is fantastic. But if we stop for a minute and let's let it sink in. If the phrase is, work is outlawed for Sunday, and if you work, you're going to get fined. Now, some of us are still like, I still see no problems here. I am on board, and I there's no downside here. I'm liking it. Okay, go to the next slide. Well, what about this? What about housework? What about homework? What about yard work? What about things we do that aren't at our job, but are they work? And if they are, am I going to get fined for doing housework on Sunday? And some of you be like, I'm still good. Still good. Students, homework's outlawed. I'm real good. Yard work. What would be the problem if this wall was included in the no work? Well, maybe there's no problem for you. Or maybe some of the problems we might think of is, if I do nothing that could be considered work, then Monday will be overwhelming.
Yes.
And so, if we let this sink in, some of those thoughts will arise if we give it enough time to settle in and say, what all could be considered work? Then our question, we might start having some questions like, well, what's the intent of that law exactly? What's the scope of that law? And how big's the fine, by the way?
Yeah.
If the fine's a dollar, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'll pay a dollar. If the fine's $1,000, I want to know the scope. I want to know the details because I don't want to pay $1,000 because I did laundry and that is work and it's against the law. And they were tapping, and they were keeping an eye on my water meter, and they saw it spike, so they're coming after me. That's an expensive load of laundry. So we want to know a little more detail if work can mean those things, right? But at first sounding, no work sounds pretty awesome, and if it means just our job, we're probably all good with that. Go to the next slide there. So the first point this morning is, we can have a tendency as people to systemize it.
Right.
And what I mean by systemize it is, we can take something, we want to analyze it, we want to quantify it, we want to define it, and we want to make it black and white so that we know right where the line is.
Right.
For instance, talk to the lawyer at the town of Normal. We're like, okay, if I make a meal, are you going to fine me $1,000? Is that work? No, you're good. Okay, what about going to the grocery? Well, you can't go because they're closed because nobody can work on Sunday. Oh, okay, so I'm good there. If somebody spills milk on the floor, can I clean it up? Is that work? No, clean up the milk. But don't mop the floor. If you get on a roll and you mop the whole floor, that's work and we're going to fine you. Well, if I take a bath, does that work? I mean, I'm doing some effort here. No, take a bath, you smell. But don't clean the bathroom, because that's work. Can I feed my dog? Yeah, feed your dog, but you can't walk your dog. How far can this go? I mean, how?
It's endless.
It's endless, isn't it? I mean, this could go a long ways. And all we're trying to do is quantify it, define it, understand it, be on the right side of it so we don't have to pay $1,000 for doing something that somebody thought was work and we didn't understand it was work. We're systemizing it. You guys with me? That's how we're using that word today. All right, let's move on to the next slide here. God had a law. God's law was keep holy the Sabbath. The simplicity of that law was on the seventh day, rest from your work. It's pretty simple, right? It's simple, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's refreshing. And that's what God intended when he made this law. God made the law, the Sabbath. Don't work on the seventh day. He gave it to man as a gift, as a good thing. And it was a good thing, because all of God's gifts are good things.
That's right.
But what happened with that simple good thing? As a mankind, mankind tried to systemize it. Okay? Tried to do the same thing that we might have been inclined to do. Making meals, that's okay. Picking grain out of the fields, not okay. Feed your animals, no problem. Shear your sheep, no good. Walk a mile, okay, we're going to cut you off in a mile. But if you go 1.1, now you broke God's law. And what the religious leaders of the day did is they tried to systemize, keep holy the Sabbath, and they came up with 39 regulations to quantify and systemize the following of that command. Started off very simple. And it got systemized into a long list of 39 things you got to keep in mind to accomplish a very simple command of God.
Yeah.
Now, do you think when this happened that it was bad intent?
No.
I don't think it was. I don't think there was any bad intent when they did this. I think it was actually good intent. I think where it started was God's got a law. We're eager to obey God's law. So he said, you know, don't work. I don't know what work is. Let's define it. Let's quantify it. Let's systemize it so that we can be on the right side of where God wanted us to be. I think it started with a good heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But 39 regulations later, somewhere it shifted from a good-hearted desire to obey God to go from something that was meant to be restful to something that became burdensome. Do you follow what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Let's look at the text for today in Mark chapter 2 about this concept. So if you would, flip over to Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at the interaction between Jesus and the religious leaders and the Sabbath. And see if you can see as we read, what this systemizing did to the mindset of those who had the regulations. Mark 2 and verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" So the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they observed them picking grain, and their conclusion is they're doing what's against the law. Whose law? In their mind, against God's law. But is that what God, was that God's perspective?
Right.
See, mankind took God's law and regulated it in 39 lists, a list of 39 things. But that doesn't mean man agreed. That doesn't mean God agreed with their list.
Right?
Just because they interpreted it as picking grain is against the law, that doesn't mean God agreed. But they had gotten to the point that they had drawn a hard line. These 39 regulations were like God gave them to us. It's the same. And Jesus is like, no, it's not the same, guys. He says, verse 25, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God. He ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said, here's what I'm trying to get across to you guys. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. What's he saying? He's saying all these regulations have made man a slave to the Sabbath, and that's backwards. Man was never... God, we never created the Sabbath so that man could be a slave to it. The Sabbath was created to be a gift, a restful gift to man. You got it all backwards. Well, this interaction gets a little more heated in chapter 3, verse 1. Another time, he went into the synagogue and a man was with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everybody. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But guess what they did? They said nothing. He's trying to get through to them, isn't he? Can't you see it? He's like, I'm trying to get through to you people. Stand up. I got a question for you. Should I help this guy or should I not help him? What's lawful?
Right.
You got your 39 regulations. I'm trying to get you to lay that down for a minute and look at the big picture for a second.
Yeah.
And they hear him ask the question and there's crickets. Nobody's answering. Why aren't they answering? Verse 5, he looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the men, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began a plot with the Herodians on how they could kill Jesus. He was angry with them. He was distressed. Why? Because their hearts were so stubborn. They were holding on so tightly to the law that they created that really wasn't even in line with what God intended. And when Jesus tried to open their eyes, they were just so prideful that they just said, I am not going to see it. I don't care what you do. You just healed this guy. That didn't even register. Jesus just did a miracle. Let's kill him. That's what registered. What registered is, Jesus is off his rocker. We need to take him out. What about he just healed this guy? Yeah, whatever. That's pretty messed up. What's Jesus' point about the Sabbath? The Sabbath is intended for, it's a time to repair. It's a time to do good. It's a time to heal. It's a time for man to be benefited.
Yeah.
It's not a time to have 39 regulations to become a burden. And so I started asking myself, as I'm looking over this concept and trying to think about it, does this concept ever happen in 2017? Because, you know, you got these lessons and they're from the past. And it's like, okay, I see that. And wow, those guys were really messed up. But can we look in the mirror sometimes and, Are we really that different sometimes? Are we not challenged with similar things in 2017?
Yep.
And I think the answer is we are challenged with similar things. And we don't want to have stubborn hearts that create 39 regulations where we think they're tied to the law of God, and God's up there saying, "What are you doing?" I made up a word for today.
Okay.
Preachers, we have the license to make up words.
Right.
Grace-amize. You know, in our nature, we want to systemize it, but God wants us to grace-amize it.
All right.
Which one looks more burdensome and restful to you? God's law, rest on the seventh day, 39 regulations to keep track of. Which one's more freeing? God's law always, God's ways are always full of grace and freeing and refreshing. When we get involved, sometimes we get and muck it all up and 39 regulation it up, and at the end of the day we've systemized it. It is a big old burden.
Come on, Nick.
It's like, are you kidding me? What's more restful? You know, go to the next slide. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you regulations. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I've got 50 things that if you just do those, you'll be great. Wouldn't that be horrible? Let's go to, you know, Mark chapter 10 and look at the 50 regulations that we need to do to be okay with God. Don't turn there. It's not there. Aren't we glad it's not there? I mean, come on. Luke 18, let's go there instead.
Let's
Luke
on over
to 18, verse 9.
That's okay, Julie.
Let's see if we don't recognize some of this systemizing versus grace-amizing concepts here in this parable. Luke 18, verse 9. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told them this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like these other guys. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, tax collectors, this guy. You know what I do, God? I fast twice a week, I give 10%, and I could go on, but I'll just stop there. Tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that the second guy, rather than the first guy, went home justified before God. Go to the next slide. What's more freeing? The second guy, God, have mercy on me. The first guy, what's he need to feel good about him and God? He's got to keep a list of everybody he's better than. That's exhausting. How do you even do that and feel good about it? Well, see, I'm better than you and you and you and you and you. Oh, yeah, you're pretty good. I have to keep you out. We got to keep our list. We got to, and all of our pride, where we say I'm better than somebody, I mean, that's just full of pride.
Yep.
Somehow we got to overlook all of that and feel okay about it. So we got to keep a list in our back pocket of everybody we're better than. Look over the pride that got us there to even be able to make that list.
Yeah.
Look, not look at everybody that's better than us, because then we feel bad about ourselves. So we got a lot of work to do just to get there. Then we need a list of all the good we did.
Right.
We got to carry around a resume.
Right.
I fasted twice. Okay, check. Let's write that one down. Gave 10%. Not everybody does that. Double star. And you know, we're just going to keep our list going.
Come on.
It's exhausting.
Yep.
That's us systemizing our relationship with God. I'm good with God because of these things I've done, because of these people I'm better than, blah, 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 blah. The other guy's like, hey, I'm a sinner, God, just have mercy on me.
Right.
Which one is more restful?
Yeah.
which of these two guys would you rather live like? You know, do you want to keep all? Do we want to keep all these lists, or do we just want to say, God, I know I'm a mess, but I'm just counting on your mercy. Yeah. The end. Yeah. And that is a lot more restful than the other version, isn't it? Go to the next slide. I got a little illustration for us. Jaime's going to come up and give me a hand.
Yeah, hi.
We have an imaginary line here. Here is over here on the right is darkness. Okay, over here on the left is light. Now, spiritual darkness is where we're lost. We're not saved. Spiritual light is where we're saved and we're right with God. Okay, everybody in this room is either in spiritual darkness or spiritual light. Everybody in this room is. Okay? Now the goal is for all of us to be over here in the light. Okay? Some of you today might be over here. And if you are, good news is God wants you over here and He made a way for you to get over here.
That's right.
For those of us who are over here, sometimes it's a challenge over here to think right.
Yep.
In terms of grace and systemization.
Yep.
And that's what we're going to try to illustrate here for a minute. So Jaime here. Jaime's in the darkness. Look at him. It's all sad. But he wants to be in the light, and so how's he going to get there? Well, God's going to send somebody with the good news and tell him the good news. Hey, Jaime, guess what? God loves you more than anything in the world. He wants you to have your sins forgiven. So if you will believe in Jesus, have faith in what He did for you on the cross, make a repentance decision, and get baptized in Jesus' name, you can come over to the light. What do you think about that?
Hallelujah!
Come on over.
So, yeah.
So Jaime responds to the good news. He's over here in the light. Make sure you're clearly in the light. We don't straddle between darkness and light. We're on one or the other. It's not. So now he's in the light. We got day one in the life of Jaime in the light.
Oh, what a glorious morning. It feels great. I have a new life. I'm saved, and I just couldn't feel much more happier. I'm going to spend some time praying to God this morning. Dear God, thank you so much that you have just brought me into the light, and I hope that I can stay here forever. Thank you, God. Amen. All right, so I got to get started on my day. But you know what? I need to ask my wife if I can borrow something real quick. I'll be right back. Hold on. I mean, all I asked her is if I could borrow her laptop. I just wanted to check my fantasy football scores and my roster for the day. And she said no. I mean, I know she's writing her dissertation for her PhD, but... you know what? I think that might be a little bit more important than my fantasy football scores. Oh, I'm sorry. God, I apologize. Can you just help me make my heart right again? And just, you know, get me back to the light. I really feel like I need to get back into the light, please. Amen. Okay, excellent. I feel a lot better now, yeah. Now, I'll make dinner tonight for her and make it all up. It'll be all good, so I'll apologize tonight. It's time to get to work now, though, so I'm going to get in my car. Just driving along. It's a busy highway here. Oh, my exit's coming right up. Here we go. Oh, this freaking van! What is going on? I'm going to chase up to... Who's driving that thing? Oh, that's Larry. I can't believe I got that upset. I shouldn't get that upset if it's Larry or anyone for that matter. So, golly, let me pull over real quick. God, can you please help me out? I am just having a hard heart towards awful drivers this morning, and I shouldn't do that. Can you please help me get back into the light? Amen. All right. Okay, I'm feeling good. Okay. All right, time to go to work today.
What's going on? Hey, what are y'all talking about? Oh, you know what? I heard some news today, too. So I heard that Ralph's son, he's going to jail.
I heard it from his lips to my ears that he was going to jail. Wait, what? His son's going to Yale? That makes so much more sense. You know, his reactions just weren't going with the news. I was like, why would he be so happy about going to jail? Oh, excuse me, everyone. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been talking. Let me pray about this. Dear God, I was just gossiping today at work, and I really could have thrown some people off, and so I really need your help. Please help me just stay in the light and get back over there, please. Amen. Okay. All right, I feel better now. Thank you, God.
All right, so there's day one. What do you think? Do you think that, good job, by the way. What do you think about this thing going back and forth? Does that seem exhausting? Does it seem like that's what God would want? Is, oh, in a given day, I'm in the light. Oh, I'm in the darkness. Oh, I'm in the light. Oh, I'm in the darkness. Exhausting? That's not how it works. If you don't understand the good news like God wants it understood, that is not how the good news works. Amen? Let's look at how it really works.
What a great morning to be alive. I'm so happy that God has given me this day. God, thank you so much for your blessings. I hope that as the day happens that I can be just in connection with you. I love you so much, and thank you for bringing me to the light. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, I'm going to go ask my wife if I can borrow her laptop. I'll be right back. Golly, I literally just wanted to borrow the laptop so I could check my roster. It's Sunday. I want to make sure that my teams are going to score. I just wanted to check my fantasy football league. Ugh. She's got to do this dissertation work for a PhD. I guess I shouldn't be that mad. God, please help my heart to be a little bit more sensitive to my wife and what she needs. The things I need are always seem like selfish things, and I'm sorry. God, thank you for keeping me in the light. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's time to get to work today. Okay, here comes my exit. Here comes. Oh, you blasted van! Where are you coming from? What? Oh. Hi, Larry. I know I shouldn't get that upset over driving. I mean, we all got somewhere to be. God, I'm sorry. I know that I shouldn't have a hard heart. I know that, you know, sometimes when people get older, it's harder for them to see. I know that people who are younger, it's harder for us to drive. And I should just have a sensitive heart to everyone and just be at peace on the road. I'm so sorry, God. Please keep me in the light. Amen. So at work today, I found out that I heard that one of my coworkers, his name's Ralph, he has a son, and his son is going to jail. I was like, what? But then after I started talking about it with several people, I realized that his son was going to Yale University, and I was kind of gossiping, and so it made me look like an idiot at work. Dear God, I'm so sorry for spreading rumors that weren't true and gossiping about people's kids and saying things that weren't right at all. I know that had to have sounded terrible coming from me. And, you know, I hope that Kirk does well at Yale and that he just makes his parents feel so proud, God. Please keep me in the light and help me do good in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Systemized thinking is we're bouncing back and forth, because it's about our performance and are we up to snuff? Are we not up to snuff? Grace-emized mindset is this: if we walk in the light, we get in the light. We're walking in the light. We have fellowship with Jesus, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. We get over here, and on a given day, we sin, but we stay over here. We stay over here because of the blood of Jesus. That is the good news of the gospel.
Yep.
We're not going over here and over here and over there and every hour back and forth, just so burdened. Yep. It's the same kind of thing that the Sabbath thinking is. 39 regulations to make proof of where I'm okay. Performance versus grace. It is exhausting. There's no rest in that, which is why it's not how God set things up in the good news. So the last thing we want to look at is we need to rest in Jesus the King. Amen. You know, when God created everything, says, on the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing of creating everything. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. There's this concept that when God finished, when things were completed, he rested. Okay? I want you to take that concept and let's apply it to something that Jesus did on the cross. Go to the next slide. In John 19, 30. Jesus was on the cross and he received the drink and he said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What got finished? What got finished was all the work that needed to be done to save our souls. What got completed was what was required for the salvation of our sin. And when it was finished, there could be rest. Go to the next slide. It is finished. Jesus' work on the cross means that we can rest from trying to prove ourselves worthy. Because Jesus finished his work, it means we can rest from trying to do more good than bad so that the scale tips in our favor. Because Jesus finished the work on the cross, we can be secure about being in the light even though we're a mess. Go to the next slide. If we'll rely on Jesus' finished work on the cross, then we can know that God is satisfied with us. And we can rest because Jesus finished our work. The work of us trying to get ourselves good enough to get to heaven, we would never complete that work. So Jesus did that work for us. And on the cross, he said, "The work is done. You don't have to work for it. I worked it out for you." That kind of thinking is finished. That is good news.
Yep.
That is real good news. So at this time, Peter's going to come up and say a few words, say a prayer, we'll take communion. Let's think about resting in Jesus the King.